Bird Songs on RTÉ Lyric FM with me, Sean Ronan. A friend once described today's bird to me as sequined little smarty pants, and as diminutive as this may sound, it is in fact quite apt. Starlings, at first glance, are a plain black monochrome little bird, but look closer and they'll blow you away. In winter, their feathers are donned with silver sequin-like specks throughout, and in summer, these flashy little sequins float in a sea of purple and green iridescence. And if that isn't enough, starlings are also amazing mimics. Starlings are lifelong song learners, unlike some other birds who have a critical learning window of a few months before their songs are crystallized for life, set in stone. As starlings have the propensity to continue updating their song, they perfect it and polish it over their entire lifetimes. The longest lived starling on record is 22 years and 11 months, so you can only imagine what a song that bird must have had. I'm honoured to have had a starling nest above our very own front door. Every morning the male would sing his heart out, and I kept a good ear for changes over the seasons. Would I hear him add to his repertoire? Well, I did. When the foxes began to mate in the garden, he soon added fox screams to his song. When snipe began to migrate overhead at night in earnest, these two were added to the track list. But best of all is that this starling began to mimic me. It learned to mimic my daily ritual of calling my dog Toby back in from the garden. Come here. Come here. Complete with Cork accent. So, follow your local starling and see if you can identify these mimicking masters. Bird Songs on RTÉ Lyric FM with me, Sean Ronan. Corncrake, the secret of kings and queens of the nettles. Their Latin name of Crex Crex lends itself to the onomatopoeic crex calls they utter with vigour from ground cover. A sharp sound like that of a tom rolling over a rigid comb. Once so common, people used to bemoan them from mizzen to mallon for the racket they'd make throughout the balmy summer nights of times gone by. There was even an old Irish curse named after them, which translates to, "May you have the sleep of the corncrake." Such was their presence throughout Ireland. It's hard to imagine that landscape of sound today. Typically silent by day, as soon as the sun falls, they unleash their insistent crexing calls, up to 20,000 per night, peaking at 3 a.m. I've heard many stories of the sleepless nights they used to cause, including that of a disgruntled Mayo man who burst out of his cottage in the early hours, delirious and irrational from the lack of sleep, haphazardly blasting a shotgun into a dark field in the direction of the crexing. It didn't work. Our corncrakes took a steep decline from the intensification of our agricultural practices in the 1970s, but they're still just about clinging on, and thanks to conservation efforts, their numbers are slowly growing. I've slept amongst corncrakes myself, and let me tell you, it's not that bad at all. In fact, I was lulled into a deep slumber by their after-hours chorus. This was due in part to the comfort the sound gave me in knowing they're still with us. I awoke sometime later on a grassy bank, head facing the stars above, the same stars they used to navigate every year between Ireland and Africa. I hope the sleep of the corncrake is something we can all experience, and I hope you hear it as I did, special, peaceful and magical. Bird Songs on RTÉ Lyric FM with me, Sean Ronan. Today I want to share a bird with you that we often see, but seldom hear. A sleek, dark seabird, the cormorant's call is an unusual one. When I was a kid, I knew them as billy divers, so called because of their habit of diving underwater to catch fish. Many of you will be familiar with the perched black silhouette of a cat-sized bird, head facing into the breeze, wings outstretched and gently, rhythmically flapping. They carry out this ritual every day to dry off between bouts of fishing. Cormorants are wary of humans and they don't like a close approach. They also tend not to vocalise much away from their communal winter roosts or their summer breeding grounds. And it's for this reason we don't hear them too much. Their sound is something really curious though, a resonant, rolling, guttural sound. Again, like our skydiving snipe, it sounds a little goat-like, but in a very different way. When next you're by the river or sea, listen out for the cormorant. It's a sound you just have to hear once to understand its wonderful singularity. Bird Songs on RTÉ Lyric FM with me, Sean Ronan. The phantom bird of the night sky is one which those of us fortunate enough to cross paths with hear before we see. The barn owl, the distinctive sound of this silent, winged, ghost-like bird, is one which is ingrained in Irish superstition and is thought to be the source of old tales of the banshee, a mythical eerie creature that was said to screech and wail to announce an imminent death in the family. Not so long ago, barn owls were much rarer here in Ireland, but they're making a staggering comeback as a result of a Birdwatch Ireland-led nest box installation scheme, a reduction of rodenticide use, and the arrival of two new non-native small mammals, the bankfowl and greater white-toothed shrew, upon which they now feed with great success. The only other sound of the night that can superficially compare is that of a calling fox, the so-called vixen scream, although it's slightly lower in pitch than a barn owl and with more of a husky, dog-like tone to it. Barn owl's call has more of an eerie, hair-raising quality to it and would certainly trigger an alarmed response to anyone walking alone in the dark. Don't worry though. If you hear a barn owl screeching late at night while you're wandering through a forest, it's probably not a banshee. Bird Songs on RTÉ Lyric FM with me, Sean Ronan. Irish nature is facing a very serious extinction risk, like never before, accelerated vastly by human hands, which take and take. Ring ousel is a symbol and a sound of where many are headed if we don't change our ways right now. Once present in 28 counties, today, this mountain blackbird clings on as one pair, the last of their kind. Soon, they will say goodbye forever. Any day now. It's a striking bird, jet black, with a pristine white as snow breast bib, with wonderfully long silvery wings made for travelling far and wide. It was once known to any of our people who spent time in the hills. It formed a part of their summer soundscape since time immemorial. In winter, these piebald beauties voyage south to the Atlas Mountains of Morocco to feast on juniper berries, from Connemara to Agadir. Now, this intercontinental songster is set to be lost forever. Our hills will lose an ancient song that floated in the breeze since times far before the High Kings of Ireland. We've let Ringusel down badly. The pied guardians of our rocky peaks with their evocative melancholic tunes. We've caused their demise. And for what? A sea of sheep, deer and sitka. Please, no more. Nature deserves better. Our children deserve better. Bird Songs on RTÉ Lyric FM with me, Sean Ronayne. Today's bird is one which you may never have encountered before in Ireland. It's really quite a rare and specialised summer visitor, but it's a bird I'd love to introduce to you, the garden warbler. To look at, the grey-green-toned garden warbler is very plain, so much so that I've seen it described as nondescript and featureless. But what this bird lacks in plumage flair, it more than makes up for with its vocals. You may be familiar with its cousin, the blackcap, another grey-toned warbler, but with a striking black cap in males and a rich rusty cap in females. Their song is so wonderful that they've earned themselves the nicknames of the Nightingales of the North. To me, they sound like skilled jazz musicians emitting a chattering, rolling tune that ends in a sweeping, sweet flourish. The song of garden warbler is similar, only better. Whilst blackcap can be compared in tone to the high-pitched robin, garden warbler would be like the lower-pitched, fluty blackbird, only it has a certain gravelly quality to it. To find these wonderful songsters, the garden warblers, learn their songs and get yourself to some dense woodland with a rich forest floor along inland lake shores. A balmy May Day at a spot like this in the Midlands is a good bet. Bird Songs on RTÉ Lyric FM with me, Sean Ronayne. We all know this sound. This two-part song of the common cuckoo is a sure sign for all that summer is here. Like many birds in Ireland, we've looked to this species as a means of interpreting the world around us. In previous centuries, it was thought that the arrival of the cuckoo was a sign of rough weather to come, the cuckoo storm, and the polar opposite of today's interpretation. Cuckoos famously lay their eggs in the nests of other species, often an unsuspecting meadow pipit, with the young cuckoo eventually dwarfing its surrogate parent, resulting in a comical Laurel and Hardy-esque pairing. The cuckoo's song delivers an instant dose of melancholic serotonin, reminding us of the gentler times of summers gone by, but also reassuring us that those times are back once again. We've come out the other side of the dreaded long, wet and grey Irish winter. The rain, that little bit warmer, the wind, that little bit less. Whilst the male cuckoo needs no introduction sonically, the female sounds very different altogether, and you may never have heard her before. She isn't as bold or insisting as the male, and she doesn't make herself so easily known. She's comparatively higher pitched and seems to laugh teasingly in response to his cuckooing efforts, and together they make the ultimate feel-good summer duet. We can look forward to the sound of the cuckoo in April, a song to encourage thoughts of warmer, brighter days ahead. Bird Songs on RTÉ Lyric FM with me, Sean Ronayne. The Northern Lapwing was declared Ireland's national bird in 1990. Perhaps this is in relation to its resemblance to the tricolour, with its emerald green back, pearly white chest, and rufousy orange rump and vent. Top this off with a mesmerising rainbow-like iridescence that shimmies over the plumage as they move in the light. Big paddle-like wings that they seem to flap in exaggerated slow motion, almost butterfly-like, and a wonderful regal crest on the head that bounces and floats as they move. Lapwings are just spectacular and are a fine bird to represent us on a national level, both in terms of looks and song. Their sound is otherworldly. Given by the male during the breeding season, often at night, they tumble through the air, making a shrill peewit sound that's almost R2-D2-like in its tone. Sadly, despite their coveted national status, we've overseen a massive decline in their population, with a reported 53% reduction in their breeding range in the last 40 years. This is due to a loss of their favourite wetland habitats, as well as the intensification of our agricultural practices. Shockingly, Ireland has lost more wetlands than any other country in the world in the last 300 years. With a staggering 90% having disappeared to drainage and development. Please, if you haven't already been acquainted with the wonderful lapwing, get to know this magnificent bird, and let's do better for it and others before it's too late.